Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course.
Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
And what's up, everybody? How's everybody doing today? Episode 49 of Destruction 101 Podcast. I am your host, the only host, Dave Sturcio, here with you on this Wednesday. It is, as you're listening to this, Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. All you hopeless romantics, all you suckers that put in for those dinner reservations and, you know, hey, listen, to each their own. I haven't done anything on Valentine's Day in quite some time because it truly is a Hallmark holiday. You know, like I said, if you're a new couple and you guys are like, this is your first Valentine's Day, I get it. I mean, it's something that you should celebrate. But if you're me, I would much rather sit on the couch, watch some Netflix, and I don't know, light a fucking candle or something. I don't fucking care. I mean, I'm not Mr. Hopeless Romantic anymore. I mean, not that that goes away anytime soon. I'm a good dude when it comes to that stuff. But at the same time, it gets kind of corny to me. So I'm not trying to woo anybody anymore. So those days are way behind me. But anyway, I hope everybody's enjoying their week. It is officially hump day. We're halfway to the weekend. I had a great weekend. I would be kidding when I said that. I had a crappy weekend. Not so much a crappy weekend. It's just that Friday night, I think I did nothing, which is cool. I'm totally all right with that. Saturday night, I went out by myself to go watch UFC. My friend that I was supposed to go out with had something going on, so I went out by myself and literally like made friends. I'm not like that kind of guy anymore where I can just go to a bar and just kind of put my beer down and say, hey, everybody, you know, I'm me, you know, like anybody gives a shit. But shout out to J-Rock, who is my friend over at Big Shots. He's also one of my friends and co-workers at CWE, Charles Westcott Entertainment. He's an MC as well. But I was at Miller's Ale House over in Woodbridge, New Jersey by myself for the entire fight until about, I guess, 11:45 when my buddy Eric, or a.k.a. Chris Steeler, bailed me out. He said he was on his way home from a Warriors of Wrestling show. And he said, come on over to Big Shots and we'll do some beers and watch the main event, blah, blah, blah. So I did. And every time I walk into Big Shots and if J-Rock's on the mic, he always like stops the crowd. Like, hey, everybody, the celebrity's in the house. You know, Dave Sturcio, Daily Dose of Dave. He's recording right now. Get on his video. You know, like as much as they poke fun at the same time, it's pretty cool. You know, like, I remember when I first started wrestling, it was even more surreal than that. Like, I was like the fucking local hero for no reason whatsoever. I think that always rubbed Chris Steele the wrong way. He's been doing a lot longer than me, and he's a lot better than me. So, but yeah, I went out on my own. I could have went home, but I didn't. I kind of not sulked. There's been a lot of weird feelings over the last couple days between now and as I'm recording this, it's Tuesday, and like the weekend came and went, and I think it's been established that I've been trying a little too hard on this brand building thing. I will not stop. I'm not going to sit there and quit and say like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to start playing Madden after my workouts and not try to build. I'm going to try to build. I just think that it's going to be more quality posts over quantity posts. And look, Gary Vee wrote this book and I'm like 160 pages into it. I'm almost finished with it, but I'm now just getting up to the social media part where he tells you the algorithms and what to do and what not to do. So I haven't even got to that part yet. And I just remember him saying, you know, post as much content as possible. And I am, but I think the way I was posting it seemed very braggadocious. It seemed very cocky and arrogant. And I am the last person to feel that way about myself. I still think I'm just the ugliest duckling in the world. I think I'm shit when it comes to, you know, certain things and certain aspects of life. But you know, I know what I'm good at and I know what I've gotten better at, but I think I kind of took a turn for the 2013 Dave Destruction where I just thought I was the fucking shit and like my shit didn't stink and I was just like, this is where I was last year, look at me now, blah blah, like, and I'm like, dude, why do you like, and it took guys like Raleigh and like friends of mine, Johnny Clash, Smart Mark Sterling, you know, it took me to be triggered by a status yesterday where somebody tagged me in a status yesterday, remain nameless, I don't give a shit if you know who I'm talking about and you saw it. But, you know, called me, you know, did a good deed and then called himself, said he wasn't going to call himself a hero like Dave Sturcio does. And, that triggered me, you know, I was like, you know what, fuck you, dude. You know, like, I don't need that, especially from a guy I barely talked to. And, it got me rubbed the wrong way and I was just triggered. So now every comment that somebody said that was negative over the next 24 hours up until this morning, you know, I was just like, you know, eat shit. You know, like, you don't know what you're talking about. But, you know, over time, you realize that, like, you don't necessarily need to do so much. Like, if you think about it, I have, like, 1,300-something friends on Facebook. Just over 1,080 on on Twitter, 1,500 over on Instagram. Like, I have friends, right? Organically, I would say, like, 50%. Are real people to me, you know, like in my life, like these are people I know. So like when I'm promoting over and over and over again, who am I actually trying to get the attention of? I got their attention already. You know, these people know what I do. So if I'm going to put up my schedule or like what I'm doing on a regular or put up my vlog, I got to stop promoting it as if like, hey, in case you guys didn't know what I was doing with my life, this is what I'm doing. I have to really turn it down and I have to turn it around. Look, you know, my wife will be the first one to tell you. She told me today when I was struggling with this, along with, you know, any other friend that gave me little tips of advice. But, you know, there's a time, there's going to be a million transitions and a million things that you do to kind of renegotiate your own deal, you know, redo and revamp your own product. And for the first month, I shoved it down your fucking throats, and I'm sorry. You know, I do apologize for that, and I can't thank the people that did step up and say, enough, dude, like, we get it. Like, these are my friends, yes, so did it hurt at first when I, like, felt that everybody was hating on me and hating me? Yes, it did. It burned me bad, and I was upset about it, lost sleep over it. But at the same time, they're fucking spot on, man. They are spot on. And, you know, so I'll continue to do my vlogs. I'll continue to do this podcast. I'll continue to tell you what's coming up for me, either events. I'll put other guys over. I'll do what I've used to do before I was shoving down your throats that I'm the best fucking ring announcer and I'm the best fucking this and that and any other. And like, I had a lot of cool shit happen. So I guess what happened was after the Colby Covington thing happened at WrestlePro and then it gets aired on Impact Wrestling, I'm having this emotional roller coaster week where it's all up, you know, and I'm feeling like the man, I'm fucking $1 million, just utter disbelief how cool it could be. And then I had close friends talk to me and say like, dude, can you talk about anything else? Like, and it wasn't like a diss. It was more or less like, you're consumed in this shit. And I think you have to be to an extent. You have to be internally, like I have to be obsessed with growing my brand right now to me. Not everybody needs to know my every move. Not everybody needs to know my strategic ways or how much money I put into Facebook or Instagram just to try to get my name out there. Nobody needs to really know that, but I was putting everything out there and it was bothering people. And I, you know, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, I'm sorry, I apologize, and it's time to switch it up again. Like, my first month, I was, as Johnny Clash put it, no bullshit, I was Roman Reigns. You know what I mean? I was making you like me no matter fucking what I did, right or wrong. I was shoving all my content down your gullet and you were digesting that shit and eventually you threw up. You know what I mean? And that's the truth. And after looking at my fucking Instagram page and my Facebook page, I was like, oof, like, yeah, you're right. I've been very, very constant on this thing. And it's like, I think it's now geared towards the quality over quantity of the posts. I'm going to try something different. There's always methods to try to build without shoving it down people's throats. And I think that's what I did. And I'm glad that my friends are my friends and they gave it to me straight. Sometimes you don't want to hear it. You're not always going to want to hear the negative part. But when you're in the public eye and you're trying to do something with yourself, like keep, you know, take it from me. And I'm not trying to brag, but there's 75,000 views on the Colby thing. And I should have just stayed humble about it and like, wow, this is fucking awesome. But I kept like updating people on numbers. Like they don't need to know. They don't care. You know what I mean? So it was definitely a humbling experience to have your own friends tell you to shut the fuck up. And it's and when I say friends, I mean guys in wrestling, because they need to tell you. I mean, and if they didn't tell you, you know, whatchamacallit, you know, they just needed to tell me, and I was so worried about people hating me. And
nobody hates you, Dave.
Raleigh had to reassure me. He did, and it was because it's funny because here I am every day putting out stuff, putting myself out there, letting everybody know every moment of every day of what's going on in my life, how I'm feeling. And I sat there and I tried to convince you that I was the most secure, happy fucking dude on the planet. And maybe, just maybe, for the first time ever, you know, or first time in a long time, I gave a lot of shits of what you people thought of me. And like, I'm always like, oh yeah, just kick that need for approval drug. You do what you want, do it, blah, blah, blah. Where it still remains true. And I truly think that anybody from the outside who is seeing me for the first time, if they don't dig what I'm doing, then I don't give a shit. I truly don't. But these people are in my life every day. And you do care about what they think. And it's not going to stop me. It's not going to put me off my game. It's not going to make me change my ways where I'm just like silent and shit. And Mr. Like, I need a 48-hour break of social media. Like, I don't need any of that shit. You know, I just need to know what I'm doing and change it up because I've annoyed the wrong people. And that's the last thing I fucking want to do. I do not want to annoy anybody to an extent where they get sick of me, you know. It's a humbling experience, and it sucks. But the brand is doing well. You know, I'm picking up steam. I'm, you know, the Instagram followers are getting up there. Twitter things are going nuts. You know, and I owe it all to Kevin and Pat for putting me on a platform to get on Impact Wrestling's Twitch. And the Twitch thing was fucking incredible. You don't understand. Like, I went into that night thinking they're gonna cut me out. Like, they're just gonna air matches, and that'll be it. But literally, the only time they skipped was the transition of match to match. Like, if you think about it, nobody got more FaceTime than I did. And it was just like kind of like, whoa, man, like, what the fuck? And I should have fucking took it like that. I should have took it as like this humble, like, I can't believe it. And I did. And I did. But then again, you know, you look at the chat room, all of a sudden, Meow Meow Fuzzy Bear fucking thinks I'm gorgeous, which became a running joke in a locker room with all the guys. But it's like these people are saying like, oh my God, sign that fucking ring announcer. My head fucking blew up. And it did. And I'm not going to sit there and try to deny that it didn't, you know. But I wish I would have stayed grounded for the last week. And I didn't. I flew up into the clouds and I thought nobody can touch me. You know what I mean? So things need to change. And I've reached out to House of Hardcore, to Wildcat. I've reached out to Limitless Wrestling. I've reached out to Dead Serious MMA, a couple MMA companies. Listen, I'm putting myself out there because I think I have what it takes to deliver on their product. And I think that if they gave me a look that I can audition, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. Or I'll send them a couple video links on my YouTube. Like, these are things I want to do. And if I'm denied, I'm denied. I mean, I went into, just like, you know, Justin Carino told me this, who was told by Tom Pritchard, you know, Bruce Pritchard, sorry. No, Dr. Tom. What the fuck am I talking about? Bruce Pritchard's on the podcast. Tom Pritchard told him, go into everything with expecting to hear no. Because if you hear no, again, you already expected it, and it's back to the drawing board. If you go into everything like, okay, I'm going to email Tommy Dreamer, tell him who I am, tell him, drop names like Pat Buck, Kevin Matthews, blah, 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 and say, you know, I'd be the best for you. And he comes back and says, we're all set. That's it. You know what I mean? Like, what am I supposed to do? Actually, Luke Hawks of Wildcat Wrestling, which you can follow him on all his social medias and stuff, he came back and said, listen, our guy right now is set in stone, and if you came down here and started ring announcing, there'd be a riot. And that's the truth. You know, just like when I took over for David Adams, you know, a lot of people were like, you know, fuck this guy. Who is this guy? Like, there's no reason why David Adams should be replaced. you know, there's different reasons why he was, and then that's it. You know, it's over. You can go back to episode whatever the fuck, where Pat, you know, basically told you the whole story of why David Adams is no longer with us. He's alive. He's just he's just not with WrestlePro. That sounded bad. But yeah, I mean, look. Like I said, a lot of changes need to happen. I've been marketing my balls off, doing the best I possibly can do, to an extent where I don't, like I said, I don't want to come off as the, you know, annoying or anything like that. It is what it is. And this has like been my opening monologue, because we're going to take a break and we're going to get a word from our sponsor, Jeremy Thompson, Best of Enemies. It goes on this week, folks. This is our last plug at it, and I really hope it turns into sales for him and his play, because I truly believe if you're hustling and you're after it, that you deserve everything that you get coming to you. And you know, so we'll hear from him when we come back. We'll touch on some sports. We'll talk, you know, wrestling a little bit. Talk a couple events coming up. I'll take your questions, which I think, I don't know, it was like three or four. And then we'll wrap it up for the week. I don't want to take up too much of your time. If you're on cardio, I think 45 minutes is perfect. So we'll be back right after these messages from our sponsor, Best of Enemies.
In the mid-20th century, civil rights activist Ann Atwater and exalted cyclops of the Durham chapter of the Ku Klux Klan, Claiborne Paul, C.P. Ellis, crossed paths and locked horns on the school integration issues during an emotionally charged civil rights movement in Durham, North Carolina, at a time when racial tension and prejudice were at dangerous levels. In 1971, thanks to the persuasion of community organizer Bill Riddick, the two reluctantly find themselves co-chairs of the committee to tackle the problems on their town's education system. Along with Riddick's idealism and the level-headedness of his wife, Mary, both Ann and CP begin to see that they have more common ground with their supposed enemy than they realize, as they confront the prejudice within themselves as well as each other. A play based on true events, written by Mark St. Germain, inspired by Osha Gray Davidson's book of the same name, Best of Enemies, directed by Bill Mutimer, stars a small cast with Katina Gordon Green as Ann Atwater, Jeremy Thompson as C.P. Ellis, Jamal Clayton as Bill Riddick, and Bessie Amato as Mary Ellis. The show opens on February 15th through the 17th at 7:30 p.m. in the Lipkin Theater at Northampton Community College on 3835 Green Pond Road, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Admission is a canned good donation or a monetary donation to the Norman Roberts Scholarship Fund. Tickets are available at the door, but for those looking to reserve them in advance, please call 610-861-5524 or email ncc_theater_tickets@northampton.edu. Warning, there will be language used in this play that may come off racially offensive.
Thank you again, Jeremy Thompson. I wish you nothing but the best of luck in this play. I think you're going to kill it no matter what. But going back to circle back to what's been going on in the world of professional sports, professional wrestling, basically getting back to what this podcast is supposed to be all about. First and foremost, the man cave, the Dave cave, is officially done. We're talking about sports because I have so much shit up here. I got two huge fat heads. I'm staring at them right now. I'm up in the Dave cave right now recording because the better acoustics, I sound a little better, less echoey than the office. Like I said, I'm going to buy those things that kind of cancel out the echo. But until then, I can record up here. It's nice. It's cozy. I'm sitting on my floor right now because it's a nice new carpet. Shout out to Home Depot. So the seasons that are, you know, happening right now, the Rangers and the Knicks, as far as, you know, I'm a huge Knicks fan, and it pains me to see Porzingis go down, and it pains me to see this team in general, like, get a little hype and then kind of suck it away from you. Same thing with the Rangers. They were in, like, sell mode, and the Olympics have started. I have not watched anything. Actually, that's a lie. I watched curling yesterday between, like, the Swedes and somebody else. But you talk about a fascinating thing, you know? It's just insane how that, like, I was at the bar on Saturday, and the Olympics were on in the background, and a guy next to me had to be no younger than 70 years old by himself. Looked over at me and goes, how the heck is that an Olympic sport? And they were like shooting guns and shit. And I was like, I don't know, but the last time I shot a gun, I stunk at it. So it's got to be, it has to be a skill. I know plenty of my friends who are cops and were in the military, so it ain't the easiest thing in the world, I'll tell you right now. But I think anything should be a fucking sport. Why the fuck not? If it draws your attention and you're into it and you're having a good time while watching it, it should be a fucking contested sport in the Olympics. Why not? I'm waiting for the day football is in the Olympics. I mean, the baseball caught on, and like they're doing the World Baseball Classic every so often. And hockey, obviously, is so much better now that like not, the pros aren't really involved in it, and it's all these hungry kids that really want to fucking win some gold. You know, but like I said, the Olympics to me, they lost their sizzle when I was younger. You know, when I grew up with the Dream Team. You know, so it's kind of not trying to date myself, but you know, the Magic Johnsons, the Michael Jordans, the Larry Birds of the world were the superstars, and yes, they were fucking crushing teams. There was nobody that came close. But that's how I grew up, and I kind of lost its sizzle. I do watch a lot of the hockey when it's, you know, the Olympic hockey and stuff. That's incredible. Hockey is one of my favorite sports. Which it kind of brings a question up. I saw something on Facebook the other day. This guy said it was harder. One of my friends, Dan, said it was harder to be a NHL goalie than it was to be an NFL quarterback. And I agreed with him. And the reason why I say that is because, look, at a young age, I knew how to throw a fucking pigskin. I knew how to throw, I could throw it a quarter mile over the mountains, okay? But and like, not saying that it's difficult or easy to throw a football with a spiral and make it look good, but you got to be able to read, react, know a playbook, you know, fucking hand the ball off, scramble. There's a lot involved. However, nothing is more fascinating to me than hand-eye coordination. And that comes with hockey and that comes with baseball, big time. Because at hockey, you have a rubber puck, which is the size of like your hand making a C, okay, and just complete the circle. But it's that small, and it's being shot at you 120 miles an hour, and it's black. It's fucking black. Like, you have to have the hand-eye coordination of a ninja to freaking stop this thing, and it's coming at you fast. And people are saying, well, you have all the equipment. You just have to jump in front. Dude, you know, there was a season where the Rangers were, like, infamous for blocking shots. I'm talking, like, diving in front of shots. Like, you couldn't pay me enough money to dive in front of a slap shot from one of these guys in the NHL. Can't do it. So I truly think, you know, hitting a home run 500 feet is much more impressive than throwing a football, you know, 60, 70, 80 yards. It is. Like, if you have the arm strength, you can do it. Okay? But you literally have to, like, in baseball, have to hit a pebble that is coming at you 110 miles an hour if what's his face is on the hill? Chapman. You know what I mean? Like, that's insane. Insanity, absolutely crazy that you can do that as a professional athlete. Like, it's, sorry, I got thrown off my game there. I had to take a phone call, but I did resume to where I believe I left off. But anyway, I'm going to go with, like I said, the impact stuff we've talked about in length. I've talked way too much about over the course of the last week, so I won't flood your earlobes with all that shit. But I will get to your questions right now, as a matter of fact. And you can find my branding stuff, my Daily Dose of Dave, my Destruction 101 podcast on the Dave Sturcio Facebook page, not my personal page. So you can see me at Dave Sturcio Brand, facebook.com/Dave Sturcio Brand. And you can find all the stuff, which I'm getting awesome reviews and like just people are just incredible. You know, like I can't thank you people enough. But it's up to about 444 likes. I need to boost that because ideally I would like to just separate myself and put my branding stuff on this and then just my normal everyday stuff on my normal Facebook with all my other shit. So there's a lot to be done, and I'll take care of all of it. It's not the hardest thing in the world, so you should be fine. But anyway, going to your questions, we have three. From Mike Malero, Jeremy Thompson, Franklin Myers. Mike Malero, hi Dave. Loving the Daily Dose. Well, thank you very much. I really, truly appreciate that. You killed it on Twitch last week with the ring announcing. Meow Meow certainly agreed. Yeah, Meow Meow's my side chick now. But hopefully we can get to hear some of you and Eddie's commentary on Twitch real soon. Question. Well, first of all, to answer that, WrestlePro is launching a Twitch account. and channel. We're just all, we're doing this as a team. There's a lot of us involved. So we definitely want to get that going soon because we want to release the Tennille versus Angelina Love match. I have it. I've watched it. Our commentary is great. And we had a great time with it. And those girls unbelievably delivered. Question, as a former member of Reality Check, damn right, which WrestlePro roster member would you make the best addition to the group? Well, if Kevin wanted to add a fourth man to this this group, he's right now, he's got Talon and Chris Steeler. Talon, I don't know so much about. I've met him last year. He's a great guy, unbelievable performer in the ring. Chris Steeler is obviously one of my best friends. He's unbelievably talented. He's one of the best wrestlers on the indies right now, and if you don't believe me, just go YouTube his stuff. He is just electric every time. He's the best super kick in the game right now. If I were to add a member of Reality Check, well, you know what? This is what I would do. I understand he's now got a singles run again, and he's a former leader of the Apple Corps. I would put Matt McIntosh in Reality Check. Not that he needs to push for like recognition, because I think he's on fire, but I just think that's a cool dynamic. He's a badass dude. I've called him on commentary the Conor McGregor of WrestlePro, and he is. He talks a big game. He backs it up. And by the way, Josh Matthews stole that from me because, well, didn't steal it because, just so you all know, I was in contact with Josh Matthews and filled all of them in with information about all of our stars because, you know, it's very hard for them to know everything about and the storylines and shit like that, which is, they did unbelievable. I truly think that, and I was hoping that Josh Matthews and Scott D'Amore would be bad. You know what I mean? I was like, well, if they suck, maybe I can get in on that. But they were really good. I mean, they were really good. Josh Matthews was a pro. Scott D'Amore was great. He actually said that he wants me to announce him in his next match on commentary, which is pretty funny. But yeah, I truly think that Matt McIntosh would make a very cool member. A very like authentic member, because that's like his lifestyle. Live the gimmick. Like, he's the bad apple. He's the guy. And he wears red already, so he wouldn't have to change his gear. Jeremy Thompson, aside from the obvious, oh, this product sucks, I'm not watching it anymore, they should have done this, what's the difference between an obnoxious wrestling fan who craps on the product and an actual fan who wants to give a critique on why they are enjoying the product all the time? I think I know what you're talking about. Wrestling fans are, in a nutshell, or in one word, odd. I say odd because, or strange, because I truly don't think that wrestling fans even know what they want. Every time that something does happen, see, I look at wrestling as a totally different bugaboo. Like, not bugaboo, I don't know. I guess I just wanted to say that word. I look at it as a totally different entity because I am in the business. So I see a lot of what goes on outside the ropes. You know, in the back locker room, how to put together a card, who's going to get over, who's getting pushed here, blah, 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 blah. So I see a lot of that stuff firsthand. So it's different for me when I'm watching a Raw, and like I'm, like I said last week, I'm in love with this Elias character. I love what they're doing with The Miz. I fucking adore how they changed the Usos. I'm all in on guys like Rusev with this Rusev Day shit. That's funny. You know, but as we get closer to WrestleMania, this is when you see a lot of the people just kind of change their tune and say, I don't agree with this and this sucks. Why is this happening? Like, obviously, you see the Royal Rumble winner, right? Who was, oh my God, who won the Royal Rumble? Oof, am I drawing a blank? Am I drawing a blank on who won the Royal Rumble? Why can't I think of who won the Royal Rumble? Was it that bad? I was so focused on the fucking girls' rumble that did I really forget who won the Royal Rumble? Oh, Shinsuke. Jesus Christ. All right, Shinsuke Nakamura, right? And the fans loved it because they love Nakamura, and it makes sense because he's hot and he's ready to rock and pop at WrestleMania. So he's going to choose – oh, he chose AJ Styles. So right away, you have this dream match in the WrestleMania forefront, which could close the show if they want. On the other side, you're going to have Brock Lesnar in the main event at WrestleMania. Or, I'm sorry, at least in the Universal title match at WrestleMania. Now, the 5 or the 6 or the 7 or whoever the many fucking contenders are going to go into the chamber, you think of the obvious choices. Roman Reigns, if he wins, does that place riot? Does the internet blow up to the point where they're like, I can't believe they're forcing Roman again, blah, 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 blah. But folks, if I'm a gambling man on professional wrestling, my money's on Roman, dude. My money is on Roman because, you know, there's a lot of things that are being, you know, kind of mulled over. Is Cena going to wrestle Taker? No idea. You know, it's something to think about, but I truly don't know. There's plenty of other matches going on. There needs to be a match for Finn Balor. There needs to be a match for The Miz. There needs to be something for another big name. Are we going to get Triple H Kurt Angle? We don't know what's going to happen yet because we're on the road to WrestleMania, but does anything really solidify itself until after the Chamber? If I had to make one prediction, and one only, it comes down to Reigns and Cena in the Chamber. And right there is a lose-lose for these rejected fans who just don't want either, right? And I think Cena's going to have it won and wrapped up. You know, hits the FU or F5 or what the fuck is he called? The attitude adjustment. He hits that for like the third time, maybe off the top rope or whatever. Like one of the ones that are clearly going to win him the match, right? One, two, lights go out. Gong hits. Taker's in the ring. Now, Cena's going to look like, oh my God, I cannot believe what I'm seeing, right? He's going to be all fucking off sorts. He's going to stand up. Roman Reigns is going to start making his way up, right? He's going to look at Cena. He's going to grab Reigns by the throat like he's about to choke slam him, right? And then everybody thinks, oh my God, he's going to fucking choke slam Roman Reigns for the bullshit that happened last year. He's going to turn back around, choke slam, tombstone, whatever the case may be on Cena. Roman Reigns gets the win. Now you have your Taker Cena. And in Taker's final last match, officially. That's just a bold prediction. Do I think it's going to happen? No, but that's the way I would write it. Do you agree? Let me know. But last question. Who is the most annoying Philadelphia Eagles fan that you know? Well, now that it's come and gone, like, you know, I'm over it. Like, it happened. The parade happens. I like Jason Kelsey's speech. I went on record and told Jay Silva that, you know, as much as Mike Pucci puts it over, like, this is the most disgusting, heinous act in the history of mankind. What was I saying? Oh, like, yeah, like, it's disgusting. And I hate the fact that the Eagles won the Super Bowl. But I do respect Jason Kelsey's speech. I think it was pretty powerful shit. I don't have any annoying Eagle fans. I think they're all just really – the ones that I know personally, being you, Blue Meanie, Danny Cage of Monster Factory, Kevin Keenan. I guess Kevin Keenan would be the most annoying Eagles fan. But then again, look, dude, it's kind of hard to say that because these people have been waiting for this shit for fucking years, you know, and even me – you know, who hasn't seen a title since 95, 96, you know, we're going on 22 years. You know what I mean? Like, that's a long fucking time to wait. But these guys have been waiting their entire existence as a franchise. So, like, look, I'm over it. The season's over. Free agency is about to start in March. The draft's in April and May. You know, I'm pumped for next season. You know, let's see what happens. You know, I'm pumped for fantasy sports again, which, by the way, I'm in a fantasy baseball league. Shoot me, because I, you know, as I record this, I'm looking over at my fantasy football championship belt. While I am the most knowledgeable football fan out there, and I have the belt to prove it, I don't know about doing an entire baseball season for fantasy. But I was asked by Kurt Hawkins, and of course I'm going to say yes. He told me who was in it. You know, the who's who of the fucking, you know, wrestling world is in it. Of course I'm going to go in there so I can say I beat Tommy Dreamer one-on-one fantasy baseball. Of course. So I'll do my due diligence. I will look up and get my knowledge right. But like I said, like, there's no annoying Eagles fans. I think, you know, it was annoying and shitty when it happened. Maybe Ruthless Ray Smith. I mean, I don't know if you know who this is because you weren't a fan back in the PWS days, I don't think. But he was a part of Black Hollywood. He's a good friend of mine. I think his cousin is Vinnie Curry. So I think that this is like a double whammy. So maybe he's annoying. But other than that, man, I don't care anymore. It's over. I'm so ready for baseball at this point. You know, the Knicks stink. The Rangers are fucking blowing it here and there. I'm ready for this fucking murderer's row of the Yankee baseball to take over New York again. And for any Mets fans out there who think that you guys are going to have any more than like 75 wins, you're fucking high. So I'll make more predictions as the season gets closer. But I'm very excited for New York Yankees baseball. And any fan should be too. But that's going to do it for today. Like I said, this might be a little shorter. Totally cool with that. Next week, we'll cover some more stuff. Actually, next week, we'll be leading into my debut, my re-debut at Superstars of Wrestling Federation, the SWF, with Rob Fury, brother. And, you know, my ring announcing there. I'm excited to come back. I'm excited to see a couple faces I haven't seen in a long time. And, you know, we'll talk more about that next week. But if you guys can do me a solid, follow me on all my social medias. I am trying still to build that son of a bitch. And, you know, I'm going to be taking a different approach. I'm not going to be down your throat. At least I'm going to try to fucking put quality over quantity. But Dave Sturcio on all platforms, D-A-V-E, Dave, pretty easy. Sturcio, S-T-U-R-C-H-I-O, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, I'm on there, which they improved. I'm, you know, a lot of people are complaining about Snapchat. Like, yes, it's annoying to see it all on one page. You're not going to see, like, all the stories you want, but all you have to do is scroll. It's not like, you know, it's not like it's the end of the world. And they just added all these cool new fonts to your to stories and shit, and it's pretty cool. So go check that out, Dave Destruction 2 on that one. So D-A-V-E-D-S-T-R-U-C-T-I-O-N 2 on that. If you want to, look, if you like my voice and you think I could serenade your wedding, Dave S at GoCWE.com. That's Charles Westcott Entertainment. We're blowing up there. He just got some new office space in Asbury Park. Very excited about that. And yeah, for anything else, shoot me a message on Facebook. I won't bite. I don't promise that, though. All right. Have yourselves a good Wednesday. Enjoy your Valentine's Day with your loved ones. I hope you paid over the price of admission for a fucking bouquet of flowers, you sucker. Have a good night. Another moment is another